don't have to worry so much about this. We're already singing, we're already chanting, we're already not taking grains once a month. But more than that, we're not doing it for trying to make our body last to be 250 years old, which all the wonderful scientists still cannot manage how to do, but they want to. And then when they make it, if they can make it last 250 years, they've tried to make it last longer. But that science has been given long ago by Veda Vyas in the scripture. But this kirtan, you see how beautiful, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, all these things, and this bringing alive the sankirtan of Mahaprabhu, all the devotees watching, looking on. Hare Krishna. And on Ekadashi morning, what else do we chant?
Bhajane, bhajane.
Bhajare bhajare ama mana
Thank you.
Yesterday, Mahaprabhu decided, Mahaprabhu had wanted to go to Vrindavan, but he's being tricked again and again to stay in Jagannath Puri. So this time, then Mahaprabhu got permission from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy, they said, okay. They didn't feel good that they'd themselves been stalling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were feeling a little bad by now, thinking this is not such a good idea to hold the Lord up in his wish to go to Vrindavan. So anyway, then they said that if he waits until Vijayadashami, then at Vijayadashami, then he can depart. After the rainy season has finished, then he can depart. They say, yes, after rainy season is finished, we give permission. Something like that. Again, it's the humility. Mahaprabhu, ultimately, he's the Supreme Lord. He can do anything. But in his humility, he's saying, I can only go with the permission of the Vaishnavas. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to thus receive their permission. He waited until the rainy season had passed, and when the day of Vijayadashami arrived, he departed for Vrindavan. The Lord collected whatever remnants of food were left by Lord Jagannath. He also took remnants of the Lord's Kadara ointment, sandalwood, and ropes with him. All right, so this is where we start today. Jagannate agyamagi prabhate chalila udya bhakta gana sange pache chillaila. After taking Lord Jagannath's permission, early in the morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed, and all the devotees of Orissa began following him. Udya bhakta gane prabhu jatne nivarila. Nija gana sange prabhu bhuvani pura aila. With great care, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade the Orissan devotees to follow him. Then, accompanied by his personal associates, he first went to Bhavanipur. Ramananda aila pache dolaya charya vaninata bahu prasada dila patana. After Lord Chaitanya reached Bhavanipur, Ramananda Roy arrived on his palanquin, and Vaninath Roy had a large quantity of prasad sent to the Lord. They were grand days. in those days. People traveled by palanquin, and the royalty, they had elephants accompanying them, all these things. We are thinking now we are very advanced, but really those were grand days, we can understand. Prasada bhojana kori tataya rahila pratah kale chali prabhu bhuvaneshvayala. After taking prasadam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained there for the night. Early in the morning he began walking, and finally he reached Bhuvaneshwar. Katake ashiya kaila gopala dharashana Swapneshwara vipra kaila prabhura nimantrana. After reaching the city of Katak, he saw the temple of Gopal, and a brahmana there named Swapneshwara invited the Lord to eat. Ramananda Roya Sabagane Nimantrila Bahira Udyane Ashi Prabhu Vasa Koila. Ramananda Roy invited all the others for their meals, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his resting place in a garden outside the temple. We shall have to pray for the grace of Mahaprabhu and his devotees that we can see what it means that he made his resting place. If it was us, we'd get out our high-tech insulated foam mats, put up our high-tech self-standing mosquito nets, get our silk sleeping bags. But I'm not sure Mahaprabhu did all that. I expect he just lay on the ground. But the devotees would have given him, I would expect, a straw mat.
But he's accompanied by Ramananda.
But he said Mahaprabhu made his resting place. If Ramananda Roy had made Mahaprabhu's resting place, it may be a different thing. In other words, Prabhu, I cannot answer you, but one day perhaps we'll have the opportunity to see, and then after seeing we'll be able to share that with each other. So if you see first, please you tell us all. Chaitanya Charitamrita is in codes, and even we have walked now in the last 3 minutes. We walked, or they walked, so we have kind of subtly walked with them from Jagannath Puri. They stopped overnight in one place, then next day arrived in Bhuvaneshwar, and that is about 65 kilometers, Puri to Bhuvaneshwar. So we've walked all that way, and I'm sure while they're walking so many incidents took place. They were in Bhuvaneshwar, then they went to some place where the brahmana fed them, Katak. These are all places. These are all places when you drive to Puri and back from Puri from Calcutta, you're going right through these places. So then he's gone to Katak all by walking, walking, walking. And what happened while they're walking, we also don't know what took place. Only we are indicated when then Mahaprabhu made his resting place. Yes, we wonder. We wonder. May Krishnadas Kaviraj bless us by revealing the codes in reality. So Mahaprabhu made his resting place in a garden outside the temple. But one thing we do know is that the rainy season had just finished. So, under a tree, nicely. And we had a devotee, and Shama knows him from before, and he left the temple to become a sadhu. I mean, somehow it was in his mind to be just very renounced. And he was very bright. He was not dull person. He was an Indian from further south in India, and he went to university at Yale University in the United States. And Yale University is like one of the universities to try to get into. And if you ask him what his profession was before he joined the temple, he'll say, "I'm an inventor." And he had that kind of brain to invent things. And anyhow, he really renounced, came to Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj's disciple, Sri Ramana's disciple. And he came to Guru Maharaj and he renounced and came to the temple and serving in the temple, doing book distribution in Krishnanagar, in Navadeep, in the villages around. That's a difficult thing to do when everybody thinks that they know everything. And I mean, I'm sure they do know much more than me, but we are trying to give them Guru Maharaj and Gurudev's idea. But that devotee, after some years in the temple, he just felt he wanted to be more renounced. And, oh, I have a room, you know, in the temple, we got some shelter, we don't have to worry about food and shelter. And he wanted to rely on Krishna. And he became a sadhu. I mean, Gurudev didn't approve, but you know Gurudev, he allows the horse to run a little bit according to the different people. That's not a license for the horse to run, but Gurudev, when somebody very much has to do something or feels they have to do it, then all right, but you are always welcome, you know, this kind of mood. And this devotee became a sadhu, as it were. I mean, he's already a sadhu, but he became a mendicant, and he went to Vrindavan, to Mathura, to Haridwar, to Rishikesh, to various places, and he lived that life of a sadhu. And it was 2 or 3 years later, we are in Dum Dum Park at the time when it is a small cottage before the Dum Dum Park temple is a temple. It was a small cottage with a leaking roof when it rained, really a leaking roof. We put buckets just near the altar. There was a bucket just about where that red chair is. We had buckets coming, but Gurudev didn't put any money into the house because he knew, I mean, the plan was, and indeed, whatever Gurudev wants happens, that we'll make a nice temple there. And then, anyhow, we're in Dum Dum Park 2 or 3 years later. And then it was the afternoon, and it was maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. And then I came out onto the small veranda at the front of the temple, and there was somebody there, and there were people just there, Indians were there, and I heard somebody say, "Mahananda Prabhu." And I'm kind of thinking, who's calling Mahananda? Who's calling Mahananda? And I'm looking, and then I heard him, "Mahananda Prabhu," and I saw a little movement of a jaw underneath a big beard, long hair, and you know, it's a sadhu with the classic kind of, if you want to draw a picture of an Indian sadhu. Big, I mean, really big beard. He was, beard was everywhere. And matted hair, long matted hair, and the sadhu is there. And then he's saying, "Mahananda Prabhu, you forgot me," you know, like this. But the voice was familiar, but the face, and then I saw these two eyes. And it was this devotee. And he'd come back to the temple. And then just a little later, he was waiting for Gurudev. And then he met with Gurudev that afternoon and begged Gurudev. I mean, begged, but very humbly. He was a good-natured person. I mean, very humbly, begged to Gurudev. And this young lady knows who we're talking about. Good person. And he said to Gurudev, "I understand I have done wrong. I've left the temple to become a sadhu, this, that, and the other. Many things in the sadhu world, whatever it may be, been to all these holy places, been with these people, but the connection of seva, I understand I did not have that, and I miss that, I need that. I'm praying." I pray to Gurudev, "Can I come back to the temple? Can I come back for service?" And Gurudev, always sweet and charming, and Gurudev agreed him. And that night or the next morning he was there with shaved head, looking bright, with shaved head, shaved beard, shikra at the back. And anyhow, I mention him because he led the life of a renunciate and sleeping out and about. And he and I, we had good talks about his life as a sadhu. And I asked him, like, the practical things. For instance, what about the mosquitoes? Because here, I mean, you've made us think, oh, what's Mahaprabhu doing? He's sleeping under the tree. Then we're thinking, well, if we sleep under the tree, we're going to get bitten by mosquitoes and things. And I asked him, how do you live day by day? And it was quite interesting to hear his stories. But he said about the mosquitoes, he said, I don't know why, but for some reason, did not get too bothered by mosquitoes. He said, otherwise, normally, we're always in a room with a mosquito net. But he said he had some cover. And he said, all the sadhus, they have some cover. We are covering ourselves at night. And wasn't too disturbed. But Mahaprabhu, too, he probably just lay on some clean surface. Maybe they just sweep away the leaves or something. They lay under a tree, cover themselves, sleep. But he had that. And he told, and I said, how long do you spend every day begging? Because I said, where do you get your food? I said, we go begging to the houses and stuff. I said, how long do you spend each day? He said, oh, not very long. Maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. He said, not very long, just a short while. We just get sufficient to eat and then go with other, they have some sadhu groups. And interestingly, I mean, it's not as pure sadhu as we might hope from the outside, because he said, actually, once you meet up with all the sadhus, they tell you, where the free prasadam handout is and where the festivals are going to be and what's the right time to go to Dwarka for the festival, what's the right time to go to Rishikesh. And they have their little circuit. And then also I asked him about, and I assumed that they walked everywhere. And he said, no, Prabhu, we take the train. I said, but you're a sadhu, you don't have any money. He said, I know, but India, if you are a sadhu on the train, they'd never check your ticket. And I said, well, was that Mahaprabhu? I mean, we had some good talks along the way. And he's still, actually, I should phone him because he doesn't have my phone number now. He's still in touch. And then Gurudev gave him some responsibility, and he actually has an ashram. But he rings me, now and again. Anyway, Mahaprabhu, he slept under a tree. And when you can see with divine vision how Mahaprabhu slept there, please you share with us. Because I can only tell you that he did it because Krishna Das Kaviraj told us. Bhiksha kari bakula tale karila vishrama prataparudra thani raya karila payana. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking rest beneath a bakula tree, Ramananda Roy immediately went to Maharaj Prataparudra. Do you have bakul trees? Oh, do you have bakul trees here? That would be nice to get. Have kadamba.
I mean, they are here in Taiwan.
They are here. Bakul tree is a very gentle tree. Anyway, we want to hear Chaitanya Charitamrita. Otherwise, I'll get waylaid onto another path. But that will be, while looking for trees, it's a thought to keep in mind. So Ramananda immediately went to Maharaj Prataparudra. Then, Shuni Anandita Raja Atti Shigraila Prabhu Deki Dandavat Bhumete Palila. The king was very happy to hear the news, and he hastily went there. Upon seeing the Lord, he fell flat to offer him obeisances. So Mahaprabhu is still resting under the tree, I assume. Being overwhelmed with love. Okay. Puna ute puna pade pranaya vivala stuti kore pula kanga pade ashru jala. Being overwhelmed with love, The king again and again got up and fell down. When he offered prayers, his whole body shivered and tears fell from his eyes. Hare Krishna. Tara bhakti deki prabhura tushta hailamana uti maha prabhu tare kaila alingana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see the devotion of the king, and he therefore stood up and embraced him. Actually, Mahaprabhu was resting in the garden. He wasn't sleeping. So this presumably was their lunch prasad that they took. Then he's resting there. Okay? So then Mahaprabhu stood up and embraced. Who did he embrace? Who did Mahaprabhu embrace? Who said the king? Okay? Which king? King Prataparudra. Mahaprabhu embraced King Prataparudra. And he embraced him. Punaha stuti kori raja koraye pranama prabhu kripa asrute tara deha hoila snana. When the Lord embraced the king again and again offered prayers and obeisances. In this way, the Lord's mercy brought tears from the king, and the Lord's body was bathed with these tears. Sustakari Ramananda Raja Reva Shaila Kaya Mano Vake Prabhu Tare Kripa Koila. Finally, Ramananda Roy pacified the king and made him sit down. We have to visualize or honor that too. The Lord bestowed mercy upon him through his body, mind, and words. Aiche tahare kripa koila gora raya prataparudra santrata nama hoila yaya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed such mercy to the king that from that day on, the Lord became known as Prataparudra Santrata, the deliverer of Maharaj Prataparudra. Rajapatra Ganakaila Prabhura Vandana Rajare Vidaya Dila Shachira Nandana. All the governmental officers also paid their respects to the Lord. And finally, the king and his men were bade farewell by the son of Mother Sachi. Bahire Ashiraja Agya Patra Lekaila Nijarajayata Vishai Tahare Pataila. The king then went outside and had orders written down and sent to the government servants within his kingdom. His orders read, Grame grame nutana avasha kariba panchashata narya grihe samagre bhariba. So this is his order. In every village you should construct new residences, and in 5 or 7 new houses you should store all kinds of food. Apani prabhu ke lana langya tahan uttariba ratri diba vitra haste sevaya rahiba. You should personally take the Lord to these newly constructed houses. Day and night you should engage in his service with a stick in your hands. Dui Mahapatra Harichandana Madaraja Tare Agya Dilaraja Koriha Savakaya. The king then ordered 2 respectable officers named Harichandana and Madaraja to do whatever was necessary to carry out these orders. In those days, a king was a king. He would give instruction. He didn't have to go and get a vote and this and that, pass a decree and hear the opposition party and everything. The king was a king, and he did all this. And in rural India, and I'm sure all over the world, in former days, before the days of concrete and big concrete mixers and all these things like that, they could construct houses easily and quickly without having to go and also having to go apply for a mortgage and, you know, all the things which now take place to get a house for your family. Here he's giving instruction in the villages, immediately build new residences, and in 5 or 7 new houses you should store all kinds of food, and then in other houses will be for residents. But we saw at the time, especially that struck me, the time of Mahaprabhu's 500th Gaura Purnima, that 500th anniversary of Mahaprabhu's advent in Mayapur, in the whole of Navadvip, but in Mayapur in particular, when we went to Mayapur to go to the Yogapit and on the Parikramas that year at Gaura Purnima, then I was really amazed to see that the army had built a whole town to house thousands of people with hand pumps, with water supply, with drains, with a bathroom section and houses. The houses, albeit simple houses, but also relatively cool houses. Houses with the walls were made of that matting, and that matting is made of reeds, is it? Is it dry reeds? Dry reeds, dry bamboo, shredded bamboo, like the bamboo poles. They're cut into fine strips and then weaved into matting. So the walls were matting, the supports were bamboo poles, and the roofs were the thatching. They weren't very thickly thatched, but simple thatch roofs. So nature supplies all these things around you. And there, it's not an unreasonable order. The king is saying, in every village, you construct these houses, and that way they will have made very nicely these things. By moving the mud, they make the houses a little higher, so when it rains, they don't get flooded. And the whole thing, I was surprised to see that town. And not only they made that town, they made it very quickly, because I'd been there about 2 months before Gaura Purnima. I had some seva, and they were beginning then. You saw that some people have started to do something, but it was basically rice fields still. So within a very short time, they made for thousands of people. So here, the King Prataparudra had sent these instructions to the villages. Ekachakra, Bamunpara, Hapanya. When you get just one field away from the main roads in India, we tend to know India when we travel by the roads and by the trains. Those are the two things we tend to see, as you do here. But if you just go like one field distance off the road, you start immediately getting into traditional rustic India. And in Hapanya, we saw with Gurudev a house manifest, because I went, Gurudev would go to Hapanya, regularly, time to time. But this time, Gurudev was going for some purpose, I think acquiring rice fields. So we did go back, within a short space of time, a few times. And by fortune, then I was the driving Gurudev, so I got to go up and down with him. But we saw behind our mat in Hapanya a house sort of manifest before our eyes out of nothing. And there it is not those thin walls made of mud. And it's just flat area. And then first of all, they dug sort of around and something like a moat. Not quite, but they dug down. And with that, they'd raised some floor area, so there's an area which is a little raised. And then they built the mud walls, this thick mud walls, and they built a bit, it dries, a bit, it dries, a bit, it dries. And that's how the house is made, and then the top part is made with bamboo and thick. There, it's a permanent house. There's a thick roof on the top. And we saw that bit by bit coming up, and very surprised. And those houses, we in the villages, village people in India are very hospitable. And in Bengal, we go to do collection for rice, for dal, potatoes. The festivals, you understand, every day, 5,000 people feeding for breakfast, 5,000 for lunch. How much foodstuff we go through. So before the big festivals, especially Gaurapanim, where for 10 days you're feeding thousands of people, breakfast, lunch, dinner, then we are going collecting for the benefit of the people, for the benefit of the temple. Everybody wins because everything is coming for the Lord's energy. And when we go to the villages, many times, well, always we're being invited for some refreshment, meaning drink and sweets. Everywhere you'll get sweets. But so often we're taken into these mud houses, these mud places. And it's hot. In the summer it's hot outside. But those buildings, how they're made, they are cool. They've been making them for thousands of years in the same way. And they have an air, like an air circulation, but it's cool inside. And no electricity. Many places are no electricity. Our land, just 1 kilometer from the Chaitanya Saraswati Math, going out of Nabadeep, there was no electricity when we were there, staying there. It is electricity. Now we take it for granted. But still, many places, there's no electricity in the villages. So there's no fan, there's no this, that, and the other. But the rooms are pleasant. So, very practical things. And we think we're all very high-tech, but how many of us can just go out into the garden with only a shovel and make a house? A shovel and a machete. How many of us, what kind of houses would we end up in? Then we'll think, oh, are we really so advanced, or actually were the cavemen more advanced than us? Because they probably could do it nicely. We're giving a talk. You know, even to make something simple, we're all in this high-tech world of, you know, all this. But to make something simple like a spoon, how many of us could go out there and make a spoon? Now, then we think, really, how advanced are we? But Paramananda, he'll be handy to know, because we're walking just here the other day and he picks up some rock and he says, look, this is iron. Here is iron ore. If you just heat this up, the iron comes out. So maybe he'd be successful to make a spoon. But first we'll have to heat it up, so we're going to have to make the fire to make the spoon. So how advanced are we? Chaitanya Charitamrita, yes, Hare Krishna. So Mahaprabhu asked King Prataparudra, he sent instruction that they must build these buildings, and you serve Mahaprabhu, make sure he's served all the time, and you make sure you carry out these orders with stick in hand. The king also ordered them to Ekanavya Nauka Anni Rakala Nadiatire Yaha Snana Kari Prabhu Yana Nadi Pare Tahan Stamba Ropana Kara Mahatita Kari Nitya Snana Kariba Tahan Tahan Yena Mari. The king also ordered them to maintain a new boat on the banks of the river. And wherever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath or crossed to the other side of the river, they should establish a memorial column and make that place a great place of pilgrimage. Indeed, said the king, I will take my bath there, and let me also die there. Hare Krishna. Some maybe, I cannot say. There are many, every corner in India there is something present, so it is quite likely, but I do not know myself of any. And many places have been rediscovered. Some places have been lost. And Srila Saraswati Thakur engaged his disciples in rediscovering places and establishing temples. And one of his disciples, Srila Bhakti Rokok Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, our Guru Maharaj, then Sarasvati Thakur sent him to discover that place of the Ramananda Samvad, where Ramananda Roy and Mahaprabhu talked, had their deep revealing discussions, finest things to be heard since millenniums, more than millenniums, kalpas. And anyway, in this way, Sarasvati Thakur sent his devotees to rediscover places. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his devotees to discover places. And you see, Sarasvati Thakur sent his most senior devotees to discover places, and Mahaprabhu sent his most senior devotees, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan, and others, to discover. So places are made, places get lost. But this, the devotion of the king, we can see here so much. So the king is speaking. He said, indeed, I will take my bath there, and I shall also die there. So the king is speaking. Chaturvare karaha uttamanavyavasa ramananda jaha tumi mahaprabhu pasha. So the king speaking. At Chaturvara, please construct new residential quarters. Now, Ramananda, you can return to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the king is speaking. When the king heard that the Lord was leaving, Sanjate chalibe prabhu nripati shunya hasti upara tambu grihe stri gane charaila. When the king heard that the Lord was leaving that evening, he immediately made arrangements for some elephants with small tents on their backs to be brought there. Then all the ladies of the palace got on the elephants. Prabhura chalibara patera heshari haya sandhyate chalila prabhu nijaganalaya. All these ladies went to the road the Lord was taking and remained there in a line. That evening, the Lord departed with his devotees. So all that resting leela, it was their noon rest. And then now this has all taken place. You see how grand a time. Chitrotpala nadiyasi ghate koila snana Mahishi sakala deki karaye pranama. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the bank of the river Chitrotpala to take his bath, all the queens and ladies of the palace offered their obeisances to him. Prabhura darashane sabe hoila pramamaya, premamaya, Krishna Krishna kohe netra ashru varishaya. Upon seeing the Lord, they all felt themselves overwhelmed with love of Godhead. And tears pouring from their eyes, they began to chant the holy name, Krishna, Krishna. Emmana kripalunahi shuni tribhuvane, Krishna prema hoya yara duradarashane. There is no one as merciful as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within all three worlds. Simply by seeing him from a distance, one is overwhelmed with love of Godhead. Now kate chariya prabhu hoila nadipara jyotsnavati ratre challi aila chatudvara. The Lord then got into a new boat and crossed the river. Walking in the full moonlight, he finally reached the town known as Chaturvara. Ratre tata rahi prate snana kritya koila hena kale jagannath tera mahaprasada oila. The Lord then spent the night there and in the morning took his bath. At that time, remnants of Lord Jagannath's food arrived. Rajaragyaya paricha pataya dine dine Bahuta prasada pataya diya bahujane. Following the king's orders, the superintendent of the temple sent large quantities of prasadam every day, and it was carried by many persons. Svagana sahite prabhu prasada angi kari utiya chalila prabhu bali hari hari. After accepting the prasadam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood up and started to go, chanting
Hari
Hari. Yes, just as it says in the sloka. Uttiya Chalila Prabhu Boli Hari Hari. Ramananda Roy, okay. Ramananda Madaraja Sri Hari Chandana Sange Seva Kari Chale Etina Jana. Ramananda Roy, Madaraja and Sri Harichandana always went with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and rendered various services. All right. So we'll end this point today. We'll end at this point today and continue tomorrow. More wonderful things happening tomorrow. Today we have seen Mahaprabhu resting, and then Maharaj Prataparudra going to him and paying obeisances, tears flowing from his eyes. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up and embraced Prataparudra, and they are both in ecstasy. And then we saw all that, and then Ramananda Roy pacified Mahaprabhu and pacified Swarup Damana, got them to sit down. Shanti, 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 om. Or in Thai, what is it in Thai? To be cool? Sabai. 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 In Thai, in
Chai Yen Yen,
not Sabai Sabai. Anyway, so Ramananda Roy Chai Yen Yen, the Mahaprabhu and Prakashananda, the King Prataparudra. And then after that, in absolute devotion, remember, King Prataparudra is about to lose the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This again, if we read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there, Rupa Goswami, he lists all these different kinds of separation. And this is a kind of separation. He's about to lose the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he just wants to serve as much as possible. And there it said also, just by seeing Mahaprabhu from a distance, one gets ecstatic love. And first Ramananda seeing from a distance and then coming to him like this. Then he orders all those elephants, and all the queens, all the ladies, all they'll be dressed in their best clothing and their bangles, as in India, the festival time, all these things. They're all on the elephants, and they're making a pathway, like a whole reception thing, but for Mahaprabhu going. Then Mahaprabhu reaches that town, and there in the town, he goes to the river, and they're all coming, giving their obeisances. Everyone's in ecstasy. And King Prataparudra, just wanting to do everything, you know, everything in glorification of Mahaprabhu. And he sent this instruction to all the villages to make new houses, to have lots of grains, to have lots of foodstuffs there ready, to make new boats for crossing the rivers. All these things, just he wants to do everything for to make perfect for Mahaprabhu's send-off in glorious way, and make a stamba, some memorial anywhere where he takes, where Mahaprabhu will take his bath, anywhere where he'll cross a river. Wonderful pastimes.
Well, it's amazing, Maharaj. I've been reading it for quite some years, and every time we read it, it's like news for us. It's like reading a newspaper, like something is happening.
Sometimes I think, have I read this before? In some passages we come to, like, I've read this before. But it is a fact, by good fortune, we have had that good advice to every day try to read Chaitanya Charitamrita from the best source of advice, Guru Maharaj and Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada. So by good fortune, we actually have gone through Chaitanya Charitamrita several times. I can't say many because I don't know how many times, but several times gone through. And it is true, it is always fresh, it is always new. And you know, sometimes we go to people's homes and see the television and see the things they do, think, why waste your time with this? Why waste your time with this? And then when there is something good, we're watching National Geographic or something with something, you know, you can think is some good content is there. Every 15 minutes, buy this soap, buy this car, get insurance, do this, is a beautiful thing. And some of it's targeted to the kids too, all these toys and stuff. And you think this is, you know, unhappy. If I wanted to watch National Geographic, well, you know, you better to go and rent the DVD or something.
Like you said, Buddha was mentioned, noticing that everyone is eating somebody. Someone been consumed by someone.
Yeah. And then, right? And then at the end of the day, you know, we'll watch all these beautiful things, but everything's eating something, and Gurudev himself, because it's a wholesome, the National Geographic Channel, it's a wholesome channel, you can say, in essence. But also, you watch that, and it's also steeped with this evolution idea. Not that God has created, not that how the wonderful description of the manifestation, and all coming through sound. What sound? The sweetest sound. From that sweetest sound, the most subtle, sweetest thing is then manifesting step by step the finer to the gross. And then this world is just a tiny spark of that wonder. Instead of that, actually atheism is being presented through, even through this sweet professional presentation of these people. Hare Krishna. Okay, now, who did their homework yesterday? You did your, oh no, I thought you were putting your hand up to say you did your homework. Who did their homework yesterday and learnt the shloka that's on the pillar? Any volunteers? Don't all shout at once.
Should I leave?
No, I think we all have to leave. I learnt it yesterday morning. Yesterday evening, I couldn't recite it, so I learnt it again this morning before Mangal Aarti, a little bit, but I think that I also won't be able to recite it. But
I almost got it.
You almost got it. Okay, please try. Ashrayam. Anyway, I also cannot recite it, but you're fairly close, but not quite there, and you're probably closer than me if somebody wants to see what it is. But it is Bhagavad Bhaktitaha Sarvam Ityutsrajya Vidher Api Kainkaryang Kainkaryang Krishna Padaika Shrayatvang Sharanagatihi. Now I'll be like the walruses in the zoo. I'll go, I think that was fairly close to what it is. Anyway, this is the shloka that Gurudev gave such glorification about that I cannot but just repeat it just before we finish today. Repeat his glorification, because that will help us to, that'll kind of give us a little push to try to remember it. And then we'll all practice again and see if we can catch it for tomorrow. What Gurudev said was, in this verse of his, means Srila Gurudev's, Guru Maharaj's Prapanajivanamritam, he has given a very, he has given us a very nice, clear explanation of Sharanagati that is a perfect jewel you cannot find anywhere else. It is the most essential prescription given anywhere for everyone to enter the transcendental service world. If you can memorize just this one verse and put it in your heart, then you will receive everything ever given in any scripture. This is Gurudev's description of this verse. So let us try by tomorrow. We'll try again and we'll all try to make it in our head, and then the challenge to put in our heart and make that as our homework again for tomorrow. Bhagavad Bhaktittaha Sarvam Ityutsridya Vidher Api Kainkaryam Krishna Padaika Shrayatvam Sharanagatihi Prapanajivanamritam 135. And the essence, the essence is that to give up anything and everything, including whatever we may think as the viddhi, the rules and regulations, this, that and the other, but not to just give it up for no reason, but to give it up for devotional service to Krishna, and to have the faith that devotional service to Krishna, everything is accomplished by that. That is the basic essence. And this, to have that faith, is Sharanagati. When we can give up everything for devotional service, then that is the Sharanagati. And the sort of official, whatever translation, is on the wall here also, and in English and Russian. So we can all try to learn for tomorrow. And you are all young, young brains, good brains, sharp brains. So do your best. Jai Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Rokok Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Jai our guardians here, Srila Bhakti Surya Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Bimal Avadut Maharaj ki jai. And around the world, our Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mat Acharya Vrinda ki jai.